You're about to be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business. For the next hour and 30 minutes, this program will present in person such bright stars as...
Fred Allen, Phil Baker, Johnny Burke,
Eddie Cantor, Eddie Fisher,
Ella Fitzgerald, Portland Hoffa,
Jan Pierce,
and Ethel Waters,
Meredith Wilson,
and my name, darlings, is Tallulah Bankhead.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show.
So listen, America, the treasures of America, we're going to be a pilot for the sky.
The Big Show, 90 minutes with the most scintillating personalities in the entertainment world. Brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this same time as the Sunday feature of NBC's All-Star Festival. And here is your hostess, the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, darlings, it's amazing how the Big Show has caught the fancy of everyone, including even the youngsters. The other day, I was walking in the park, and I overheard two darling little children. Oh, they look so beautiful in their neat little outfits. And one said to the other, "Let's play Tallulah Bankhead." And the other one said, "All right, I'll be Tallulah and you be Bankhead." Oh, they were the cutest little boys I ever saw. And then they started playing. One of them said to the other, "Well, sir, Miss Bankhead, now don't tell me you're only 8 years old. You've already got your second teeth." And the other one said, "My first teeth fell out because I ate too much candy and cake and ice cream and sugar donuts." And the first one said, "Oh, too sweet." Well, after about an hour and a half of this, one of the boys picked up a baseball bat and started hitting the other little boy over the head. Well, I rushed in and said, "What are you doing, darling? What are you doing?" And the child said, "Nothing. I'm just ringing his chimes." Well, if that's playing Tallulah Bankhead...
Well, it's all your own fault, Tallulah.
What do you mean, my fault, Eddie Cantor?
Tallulah, I just want to say that in only 19 short weeks, you and the Big Show have become the talk of the entire radio industry.
Really, darling? Well, that's nice to hear, Eddie. Thank you.
And now, may I offer just one little criticism?
No. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Now, wait a minute. What do you mean, no? Since when did you start saying no? I have a little criticism to make, and I think it will help the program.
Nothing will help this program, darling. I mean, we don't need any help.
Well, it's just something that everybody around town is saying. You're not treating your guests with the dignity they deserve. For instance, a couple of weeks ago, Ethel Merman was on the show. She sang a song. And when she finished and she got big applause, you said, "Thank you, Ethel Merman. Better luck next time." Now, is that nice?
Well, what's wrong with wishing someone luck?
Well, why didn't you just say, "Thank you, Ethel. You are simply wonderful."
And perjure myself?
Well, maybe you ought to get out of radio and come into television. We're all in it. All the big stars are on Channel 4. You better get into the swim. The water's fine.
That's not what I hear about the channel. I've been watching television lately, and all I see is a lot of old Easterners.
No. You mean old Westerners.
I mean old Easterners. Edwin Durante Cantor.
Yeah, now... You watch my show next Sunday. I've got a very effective finish. Something new. The camera is never on anybody's face. You just see a lot of people's hands. It's broad comedy, but very funny.
Sounds like an Abbott and Costello routine.
No, just Costello.
No, Eddie, radio's good enough for me.
Well, I guess you're right, Tallulah. After all, radio was my first love. And there's nothing like radio.
Oh, that sounds mighty like a song to you, darling. And I suppose there's no stopping you singing it.
That's right.
Okay, Meredith, darling, if you please.
Oh, there's nothing like radio for having a wonderful time. Who cares about watching a girl do the hula? I get a bigger thrill from the voice of Tallulah. Oh, 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 I still love the radio, although television is fine. A wife, if she's truthful, will make this admission. Against those plunging necklines, there's too much competition. Oh, 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 there's nothing like radio for having a wonderful time. Oh, 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 there's nothing like radio for having a wonderful time. You turn on the dial, have the time of your life. You'll find young Doc Malone there with John's other wife. And oh, 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 I still love the radio. I think that the big show is fine. While looking at TV, though she may deny it, a woman sees those recipes and goes her diet. Oh, 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 there's nothing like radio for having a wonderful time. Ah, do you remember radio of 20 years ago? The Chase and Sanborn Hour with Rubinoff and his violin? Rubinoff. In those days, he was the only mad Russian we had to worry about. Oh. Yes, and a sensational singer. Then was a girl called Von DeLith, remember? That was radio. Today on television, there's another girl who sings, a sensation. Her name is Virginia Hill. Oh. And the big song hit on radio 20 years ago, I had the good fortune to introduce it, went like this. Potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper, now the time is falling loud. Why, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, gave their price a downward shove. Grab yourself someone to fry your eggs and bacon. Ooh, she can live just like a queen on what you're making. You'll find in sunshine or trouble, you're better off double. Now the time of fall in love. Oh, 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 I still love the radio. Tallulah is really divine. Next Sunday on TV, for Colgate I'll be playing. And when you see this face of mine, I'm sure you'll be saying, oh, 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 there's nothing like radio for having a wonderful time.
Thank you, Eddie Cantor. That was, without a doubt, the greatest song I ever heard. You are, without a doubt, the greatest singer I have ever heard. And I don't know when I've been more entertained than by your superb voice singing that superb song.
Well, thank you, Tallulah.
And better luck next time. Wait a minute, Eddie. There you go again. Didn't you like my singing? That's your cue, kid.
Wait a minute. Didn't you like my singing?
Eddie, you know I love you, and everybody has loved your singing for many years. But, now, Eddie, be quiet. We have a singer on the program this week whose voice is really magnificent. That would be none other than the star of the Metropolitan Opera, Mr. Jan Kitz. Jan, I was delightfully surprised when they told me you were going to be a guest on our program tonight.
And I'm delighted myself because I've just recorded for RCA Victor a song which was composed by Meredith Wilson.
Oh, really, darling? Which song is that?
May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Oh, our closing signature. You know, we've had thousands of letters asking us to have someone sing May the good Lord bless and keep you as a solo. Quite aside from splitting up among the cast at the end of the show. Would you sing it for us now, Dan?
I'd be glad to.
And this will add to its effectiveness. I'll sing it with you. How's that?
You'll have to excuse me, but I have a severe case of laryngitis. And here is a letter from my doctor. I can't sing the song with you because it might tend to incriminate me.
Oh, that's a shame. I was only kidding, darling, about singing it with you.
Oh, suddenly my laryngitis cleared up.
Trapped again. Oh, by the way, do you know Meredith Wilson?
Well, sir, Miss Bankhead.
Oh, I see you know him. All right, Meredith, play it for him. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jan Pierce singing his RCA Red Seal Victor recording of Meredith Wilson's May the Good Lord Bless and Keep You.
Fortune 10 times 10. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. May there be silver lining back of every cloud you see. Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet, till we meet again.
May the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away. May the good you wish for others shine on you today. May your heart stay tuned to music that will cheer the hearts of men. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. May you long recall the rainbows, then you'll soon forget the rain. May the warm and tender memories be the ones that will remain.
Fill your dreams with never mind what might have been. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. May the good Lord bless and keep you till
darlings, it is a privilege to welcome to the big show a very old friend, a distinguished artist whose thrilling life story, recently published under the title His Eye is on the Sparrow, is moving swiftly into the bestseller class. Our eyes are on, our hearts open to Miss Ethel Waters. Ethel made her first dramatic triumph in the theater on the night of January the 3rd, 1939, in the role of Hagar in Dorothy and Jabot's Hayward's Mambo's Daughters. Ethel recreates now one of the most moving scenes from that play. Here is Ethel Waters in Mambo's Daughters.
Oh, Lord, sound the trump of the judgment.
Mamma's Daughters is the story of Negroes who work on the plantation of the Wentworth family near Charleston. A story of Mamba, her daughter Hagar, and Lissa, her granddaughter. It is the story of Big Hagar, whose great love of Lissa has made her sacrifice her own life that her daughter can be spared the fate of Mamba's daughter, and win recognition for the gifts God gave them both. Our scene opens upon the eve of Lissa's triumph, her debut in our own radio program from New York. On the threshold of this great moment for Hagar, she has come to the commissary of the plantation to consult the owner, St. Julian Wentworth, known respectfully as Mr. Saint. We hear Ethel Waters recreating the role of Hagar in Mamba's Daughter.
Why, Hagar, not at prayer meeting?
No, sir, Mr. Saint. This is singing night on radio, this big night. You ain't here?
Oh, this is the night. Well, I meant to hear that myself. Maybe I'll get to Charleston in time for the last part. You want to hear it over my radio?
If you please, sir.
Is it time?
It begin 9 o'clock.
In 12, 13 minutes. Well, this is the big night, isn't it, Hagar? The night you planned and worked for all these years.
That's the truth, Mr. Saint.
Your daughter's a star now. Isn't it about time for you to stop working so hard and go back to town and live with Mamba?
Oh, Mr. Saint, I'd be a field hand so long I done clean forget city way. And if I ain't working hard like the other people is, I got too much time for tink. And like Mal is say, the good Lord ain't mean for me, tink.
Tell me the truth, Hagar. After the way you and Mamba slaved for her, doesn't that girl of yours send you any money?
There never was a girl do better by she man, Grandma. Why, that little girl can't send no. Just a month before last, she sent me $1,000.
Hagar, you and I have always been friends. I know what you buy. You're living on less than any hand on the plantation doing the work of two men. Why don't you tell me the truth?
But it's the truth, Mr. Saint. Here, this letter come 5 days ago. This is what she put in them. Read them. Count them.
$10 bills, $100. Well, for heaven's sake, Hagar, buy yourself some food and some new clothes. You used to be always admiring the new dresses in this store when you couldn't afford them. Now you can afford them, you're always in rags.
Well, Mr. Saint, I in very great trouble.
Bad news in that letter, Hagar?
I ain't no, sir. Can't read them.
You want me to read it to you?
If you please, sir. Listen, no, I can't read them. She always send letter to Mayor. Mayor get Gardenia read them for we. But this time she say it for me, not for Mayor. And I ain't know what it say.
You've had it 5 days?
I asked Willie May to read them for me. But, well, you'll see, sir.
Dearest Mother, get someone you can trust to read this letter to you. It's just for you, not for Grandma.
That what Willie May say. And I think it's something special, so I'd take him away from she.
You trust me, don't you, Hagar?
Sure, I trust you, Mr. Saint.
Mother dear, after the way you and Grandma have worked for me, it would break my heart to have you think me ungrateful. It's been the dream of my life to give you everything you could want, but how can you want so much? In the last 4 months, I have sent...
Then not read them, Mr. Saint.
Well, who is to read it, Hagar?
Excuse me, sir.
I have sent Grandma $3,000. I thought you would consider that a fortune, but every letter asks for more. There must be something Grandma's not telling me. I'm wondering if she has made up her mind to collect all my money and put it up for my old age. If so, she is wrong. They are trying to put me across as a big star, and that costs money. They want me to be seen in gorgeous clothes and live in a fine apartment. Mother, dear, try to persuade Grandma to live on what you have for a few months. Then I can send more. Don't forget to be listening to me next Wednesday night. I'm putting in some spending money just for you. Your devoted daughter, Lissa. Well, you don't want to tell me anything?
Better give me a letter, Mr. Saint.
Is Mamba banking the money?
Oh, yes, sir. She think Lissa spent them too fast. She put them in bank for she.
Why do you say you trust me?
Mr. Saint, I lay my life in your hand for safekeeping. But my Lissa, she all I got.
I'd like to help. Well, I'll turn on the radio for you. But what do you do with the money, Hagar?
I give them to Gilly Bluton.
Gilly Bluton? Why?
To to keep his dirty, rotten mouth from opening.
You've been blackmailing you? You've been paying him not to tell something?
Yes, sir.
What?
About Lissa, baby.
Lissa had a baby?
Yes.
Where is it?
Mr. Saint, I tell you the God truth. I'd do everything to save that baby. Me and Mad do everything. We know how, Mad know how to catch baby. And that baby ain't die because everything ain't done for him. It die because when Lissa carry him, she grieve, fret, won't eat. So when that baby born, he's so puny, he only live an hour. But we do every God thing to save. I swear we do, Mr. Saint.
They had a baby and Gilly Bluton's the father? How could such a thing happen?
Why, Lissa, she's good. But one night, she go to dance with Gardenia. Gilly Bluton follow. She never drink liquor for, and she...
You've been paying him to keep his mouth shut?
He say it very strange about how come that baby dying so secret. He say the police want to know about how come that baby died.
How long has this been going on?
Well, he start come around. Soon as he find out Lissa got fine job singing on radio, he say, give him $1,000. He won't say nothing to nobody. We give him. He come back and say, give him another $1,000. We give him. He say he ain't come back no more. We think he ain't come back no more. But he always come back.
Hager, why didn't you come to me before? How many of your friends out here have doctors when their babies are born? They have midwives. And if Mamba's been acting as a midwife, why, Gilly Bluton would have had better sense than to have even made the charge. He was just taking you for a ride.
You mean we ain't got to give him all that money?
Certainly not. At least, suppose you tell me just what happened.
Well, so just after Gilly.
Yes, I understand.
We send Lissa to New York. Teacher write back and say she gonna be fine singer. Then my Lissa find out she gonna have baby. She ain't one folks in New York know. So Mab bring him back to Charleston. She hide in Mamba room till time come. Then Mab bring she down here to Viney Cabin. The baby born down here in Viney Cabin. Mab gonna raise it, but it ain't live. So we bury it in the woods. Say nothing.
You mean you never reported the death of the baby?
Well, we ain't know that, Madison. Everybody know about my Lissa.
But didn't you know you could be tried for murder?
That's what Gilly Bluton say. He say if we ain't come close, he gonna have us frying in the electric chair, Mr. Taylor.
Taylor, what evidence has he got? What proof?
Find out somehow when Lissa go back to New York. He devil old Viney till she get weak in the head and tell him. Then you put down writing. Viney, put your Mac on him.
Well, there's no use trying to fool you. He's got you on the spot. Well, hello, it's past time. We're missing the great moment. We'd better turn on the radio.
My mother is listening to me tonight. And on this, the biggest night of my life, I want her to hear me say, Mother, I owe this all to you.
That's something they write in play, ain't it?
No, Hager. She said it straight to you.
Thank you, Lissa. That mighty sweet of you, baby.
Stormy weather in my mad and I together.
Hager, don't worry over Gilly too much. There must be some way to stop his mouth. We'll have to think hard.
Yes, sir. We got to find way keep him mouth shut.
Well, good night, Hager.
Yes,
lock
sir.
Up when the concert's over.
Yes, sir. Gilly Bluton, listen. God find way. Keep your mouth shut. I find way. Keep your mouth shut.
When he went away, the blues walked in and met me. If he stayed,
oh,
thanks to the one and only Ethel Waters for her magnificent and heartbreaking performance. And to a brilliant assist by Martin Blaine as Mr. Saint. Ethel, darling, come here a moment. I want to talk to you. First, I want to congratulate you on the great success of the book you've just written. Now, what's the name of it again, darling?
His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Oh, yes. What a wonderful title. It's the story of your life, isn't it, Ethel? Oh, I'm going to write a story about my life, too. All my romances.
Really? Really? And when are you going to write it to Lula?
Well, darling, I'm still gathering material. But I work on the book every night.
Oh, no. Not every night. I saw you at the Copacabana the other night with a tall, handsome gentleman.
Oh, yes. I was working on Chap 9.
That's nice research work.
Oh, I adore writing this book. If all the men who are mentioned in it buy it, it's bound to be a bestseller. And I have the loveliest idea for a cover for the book.
A fireproof cover, I suppose. I'm sure your book, you'll use for your book.
All right, Ethel. What's it going to be, darling? One of the biggest fiction sellers of all time, Ethel. Why, Ethel, it is not fiction. This is going to be the story of my life.
Thank you for taking my line, too. I know, but who's going to believe it? I got a big thrill out of seeing my book in the stores all over the country.
Oh, darling, that must be quite a thrill. And I'm going to travel, too, all over the United States and see my book on sale in every city in the country. Of course, I never go to Boston anyway.
And then when they sell it to the movies, you'll get another thrill.
Yes, Ethel, and this time, when they make a story all about me, I'll play it myself. Wilson, is orchestra and chorus. I take just a moment before we continue to say that this is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
National Broadcasting Company's Sunday extravaganza with the most scintillating personalities in show business. The Big Show, the Sunday night feature of NBC's All-Star Festival, is brought to you by Chesterfield, the cigarette that has for you what every smoker wants, mildness but no unpleasant aftertaste, the cigarette that brings you Bing Crosby and Bob Hope, and by the makers of Anacin, for fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, and by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. The big stars in this program are Fred Allen, Bill Baker, Johnny Burke, Eddie Cantor, Eddie Fisher, Ella Fitzgerald, Portland Hoffa, Jan Pierce, Ethel Waters, Meredith Wilson and his Big Show Orchestra and Chorus, and every week, your hostess, the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, darling, you'd be amazed at the petty jealousies which spring up when we bring together a lot of stars to do the big show. Of course, it isn't true of all stars, only those in the theater, motion pictures, radio, and television. To say nothing of that new medium, Investigation. Now, for instance, on this week's program, we have two grown-up men who have done nothing but quarrel like two grown-up women.
I take it that you are referring to me, Miss T. Brockman Bankhead.
Yes, you, Fred Allen. Yes. I certainly do mean you, Fred.
Yeah.
You and one of our other guests, Phil Baker. Now, what could you possibly hold against Phil?
Well, a gun would be nice. Or possibly a hot shish kebab.
Oh, Fred, that's not like you, darling.
Well, no, it's not Phil personally that I object to, you understand. We're really very good friends. I like Phil. I don't care what anybody says. And they are saying it, Tallulah. But you see, I used to have a program on radio, and I was going along nicely with a high Hooper rating, a crew haircut, and all of that. Until one day, somebody put a quiz show on another network opposite my program. And in one season, my rating dropped to nothing, and I became quite ill. I developed what is known as Hoopertension.
Yes, but that wasn't Phil's quiz show. That was another one. Are you against all quiz shows?
No, only those that people win money on. Oh, I can tell you a tragic story of how a quiz show brought about a great disaster, Miss Bankhead. Would you like to hear it?
Not particularly, no.
Well, thank you. I shall be glad to. This is a true-to-life story taken from the files of Mr. Keene, tracer of lost ratings. It concerns a simple middle-class family of three living happily in Shelby, Montana. A sweet little old lady, her husband, and their pretty 18-year-old daughter. Life was good. The father had a comfortable job in the Montana State Prison as hangman. He owned his own rope. It was all clear profit. The daughter was going with a nice young fellow who worked at the bank by day and worked at the blacksmith shop at night. He was learning to be a forger. And the sweet little old lady was content to stay at home and make their modest little ivy-colored bungalow a hideout for itinerant gangsters. This was a typical, happy, normal American family. And then one day the phone rang, and the sweet little old lady answered a question on a quiz program. Well, she was right. She won 12 rumba lessons, a trip halfway around the world, a deluxe model Piper Cub airplane, and $3,500 in cash. Well, the daughter took the rumba lessons, got mixed up with a South American dance instructor who wore wedgies. And when last heard of, the daughter was dancing dressed in seaweed in a low-tide waterfront saloon in Ecuador. At low tide only. The father took the trip halfway around the world and is now stuck in Bombay, India. He makes a little money selling chutney by appointment there. And running errands for the Foreign Legion when errands come up. And the little old lady left alone in the ivy-covered cottage with her deluxe model Piper Cub airplane tried to back the plane into her garage. Well, hospital bills and repairs ate up the $3,500. And she's now working in her sister's beauty shop in Sedalia, Missouri, and doing very well.
Yes, but who can be that lucky, Fred?
Well, that's what I mean, Tallulah. You have grasped my intent there. Now, look. Shh, quiet. Says Meredith is listening. I happen to have here a list of questions and answers Phil Baker is going to use on his quiz program later tonight.
Oh, you borrowed them from Phil, huh?
Who borrowed them? I stole them. I novocained his pocket. Now, you, Tallulah, you take this list and memorize the answers. They're easy. Look at this first one.
Uh-huh.
Who invented the cotton gin? Eli Whitney.
Uh-huh.
Who invented the phonograph? Thomas Edison.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can win $64 very easily.
Oh, no, I wouldn't take money that way.
If you don't want to take the money, you can donate it to a charitable organization of which I happen to be a charter member. The Society of Underprivileged Radio Gentlemen for Retired and Poverty-Stricken Ex-Stars. Or, as it is more commonly known, the SOURGRAPES.
Sour grapes, a worthy call.
Yes,
friend.
It is. The whole bunch.
All right, darling. And while I'm learning these answers, how about some music by Meredith Wilson and his orchestra?
Well, sorry.
That number I heard you rehearsing this morning, darling. Here comes the springtime.
Here goes.
Here comes the springtime and there goes my mind. Oh, to be highly hailed. All my resistance to falling the sun. Oh, to be highly hailed.
See if you can free, go away if you see me. Lilacs and smilacs and happy.
Yes, morning dew, you are soaking me through with feelings that don't understand. The robins, the crickets will start. Holy, highly praised. Here comes the springtime, and there goes my heart.
Holy, highly,
holy, highly, holy, highly praised. Holy, highly, holy,
the springtime, and if spring comes, can Hope and Crosby be far behind? Here they are, Bob and Bing.
Say, Bing, you got a minute?
Oh, sure, Bob. I got all the time in the world.
Don't tell me you own that, too.
Never mind that stuff. Get to work, will you?
Okay. Folks, Better Tasting Chesterfield is the only cigarette that combines for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. And you can prove that yourself. Just make our mildness test. Buy Chesterfields, then open them and enjoy that milder, mellow aroma. Now light one up. And you'll know Chesterfield's milder because it smokes milder. And Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. That fact has been confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel.
Yes, mildness and no unpleasant aftertaste are what you and I and every smoker wants.
Hurry up, Dad. Here comes the music.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
Oh, ho, open the pack and give them a smell.
Then you smoke them.
Now, let me see if I've learned these answers. Who invented the cotton gin? Eli Whitney. Who invented the phonograph? Thomas Edison.
Hello, Tallulah.
Oh, hello, Phil Baker. Oh, Phil, I was just thinking about you. You have a quiz program on NBC right now, haven't you, darling?
That's right. Tonight at 10 o'clock, the $64 question program.
Oh, I'd give anything to be on that program.
Really? Well, I have the questions right here with me. Would you like to be a contestant?
This is too easy.
Okay, here we go. And here is our first contestant for tonight. Madam, would you step a little closer, please? What is your name?
Eli Whitney.
What?
What was the question again?
I simply asked, what is your name?
Oh, my name. My name is Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, there's a lot of folks here tonight from Tallulah Bankhead. Tell me, Miss Bankhead, where are you from?
Where am I from?
Yeah.
Well, originally I'm from Alabama, but I've just been to Mexico City visiting with some friends. And you see, we all been up in Sun Valley on our way up to Paris and San Francisco. Well, and these friends of mine from Chicago, they invited me to come here on to New York. And I've been visiting here with some fellas from Washington, D.C.
Well, that's over the hill. Here we go. You mean Washington TV, don't you?
Oh, I don't know anything about those things. If you say so, I guess it's so, but I just don't know anything.
Do you want to try for the $64 question?
Oh, I don't know anything about money. But if you give it to me, I'll take it.
All right, let's get to the first question. For $1, who invented the cotton gin?
Eli Whitney.
Correct. You win $1. Now, do you want to take the dollar and quit and go on up to Sun Valley and have a big party, or do you want to try for two?
Oh, it was a good tip. I'll try for it.
Okay, here's the question. Who invented...
Thomas Edison.
Correct. Wait a minute. I haven't even asked you the question yet. How did you know the answer?
I told you I get good tips. A friend of mine gave me that tip.
Yeah? What's his name?
Oh, a fella I met when I was in Boston. A fella named Fred Allen.
Oh, Bagsy Allen. Yeah, I know him.
His name is Fred. Now, Phil, please. Now, why don't you try to get along with Fred? You know he's just a little sensitive about quiz shows.
What did I do? I walked in here this morning, and all I said was, how are you, Fred?
Oh, is that all you
said? That's all. How are you? He answered fine, and I gave him a dollar.
Well, I don't understand why I should get mad at that. There must have been something else. What else did he say?
Not much. After that, I just said, how are you doing on television? He said fine, so I took the dollar back.
Well, darling, you have a habit of carrying that too far. I mean, on my last birthday, did you have to send me $64?
Well, I'm sorry, Tallulah. That's as high as we go.
Now, let's get to the jackpot question. Phil, would you mind playing something on that accordion you seem to have dragged along with you? Something, shall we say, like Stardust, darling?
Thank you.
If you suffer from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, you should discover what many thousands have known for years, that Anacin brings incredibly fast, effective relief. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Probably at some time you have received an envelope containing Anacin tablets from your physician or dentist. Thousands of people have been introduced to Anacin this way. Try Anacin yourself the next time you suffer from the pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. You'll be delighted at how quickly relief can come. Anacin is spelled A-N-A-C-I-N. Your druggist has Anacin in handy boxes of 12 and 30 tablets and economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100 for your medicine cabinet. Ask for Anacin today.
Now, Fred Allen and Phil Baker, come over here, you two.
Coming, Mother.
I want you both. Fred, I want you both to promise you'll be friends. Now, Phil, do you promise to be nicer to Fred?
I do.
Fred, do you promise to stop needling Phil about his quiz show?
I do.
I now pronounce you truth and consequences.
Fred, now that we're friends, tell me, what exactly have you got against quiz shows?
Well, I'm not against all of the quiz shows, Phil. I was watching a quiz show on television all last week that was really different.
What quiz show was that?
The Bookmaker Meets the Critics.
Oh, that show. That's the only quiz show where if the contestant doesn't answer the question, he gets the big prize. 10 years.
That's why it's sponsored by Time. They give it to you.
Jackpot is life.
Well, Phil, let's get serious for the moment.
Yes, let's do.
More serious than we have been. What I mean about the kind of quiz show that you do, Philip, is the questions you ask. They're so easy. Why, an imbecile can answer them.
Yeah? Well, Mr. Allen, here's a question I'm using on my show tonight. What is the formula for nuclear fission? Answer that.
Well, it so happens that I am not an imbecile.
Oh, you just saw that other quiz shows are so popular, and that quiz show you were doing on television wasn't popular.
I never did a quiz show on television.
So why did everybody go around saying, did you see the Fred Allen show? What is it?
Look, I was only on television long enough for people to say, what was it?
Don't talk to me about my quiz show, well, Fred Allen. I remember you from Vaudeville. I caught you in Toledo one day. When you finished your act, there wasn't a sound of applause, and some woman in the audience started spanking her baby, and you went out and stole 3 bows. That's the first bow you took in months, because I heard your spine snap.
Now, wait a minute. Let me...
Phil, stop that!
Now, I caught you in Vaudeville, too, Mr. Baker. You and that Wurlitzer lavalier you had.
Gentlemen, please.
I remember your act distinctly. You had 3 midgets in your act. You had to have somebody in the act you could look down on, and you had 3 midgets. And when you laid off, you were too cheap to feed them. You shaved the midgets, put talcum powder on them, and put the midgets in an orphan asylum until you got another job.
Oh. That's how it
Stop that.
Here. Maybe I can help you out, Miss Bankhead.
I doubt it.
Well, in half of you just in time. Corlin, darling, I'm having so much trouble with these two men.
Yes, I heard it. Fred, don't talk like that to Phil.
Phil? That's more than he ever did to theaters.
Now, listen, Alan. I don't want to insult an old man. If you'd have been in Vaudeville a year sooner, you'd have been a monkey act.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You with that stomach Steinway that you carry.
Right.
Fred! Now, stop that.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Stomach Steinway.
Remember
the play on words. There's a Steinway.
Fred!
Oh, excuse me.
Fred, yeah. Remember what I told you. At a time like this, contemplate.
Oh, yeah. You put a nest. Who ever heard of a nest in contemplate? Pointing a word and the mint is closed. All right, I shall contemplate now, but not out loud.
You see, Miss Bankhead, it worked.
But what you said, Fulton, darling, how did you get him to stop?
Well, it's a little poem I made up. Whenever you lose your temper, you recite this poem to yourself. You're always losing your temper. It can help you.
Your poem will help me control my temper. How did it go?
To compose myself in times of stress, I contemplate my watercress.
Oh, no.
While others rant and show distress, I contemplate my watercress.
A watercress.
Tallulah, darling, if you will try, you too can do the same as I. When all seems lost and life's a mess, just contemplate your watercress.
Yeah. Now, why don't you go sit over there and do some contemplating, Portland, darling?
Say, Phil, you ought to try that thing out. It really works.
Yes, I can just see myself carrying around a lot of watercress in a soggy bag.
You leave my name out of it.
Now, Tallulah, contemplate.
Oh, all right. To compose myself in times of stress, I contemplate my watercress. While others rant and show distress, I'm sitting home contemplating the revolt. Nauseous. Disgusting. Moldy, limp spray of watercress.
Here's a word from RCA Victor. Friends, if you study the room you're in right now, you'll realize that you can't buy furnishings piece by piece without the final picture in mind. It's that way when you buy television, too. Now, here's how to get the most out of your television dollar. Consider the complete home entertainment picture, radio and records, as well as TV. Instead of having many instruments scattered about, why not settle for one fine cabinet that costs less and contains your complete home entertainment needs? Such a one-cabinet combination is the RCA Victor Rutland. Open the doors of the Rutland's 18th-century cabinet, and you'll find 17-inch minion-proof television with its clear, steady pictures, AM and FM radio, and the Victrola 45 record changer, as well as a changer for 78 and 33 and a third speeds. Yes, so many more families are becoming television owners this week. If you're one of them, remember to see and listen to the exciting new Rutland at your RCA Victor dealers.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a big treat for you. A singer whom Ethel Waters calls the greatest riff singer of all time. She certainly has become one of America's most favorite song stylists. Her name, need I tell you, is Ella Fitzgerald. Her song, Vincent Newman's Sometimes I'm Happy.
Depends on you. I never mind the rain from the sky if I can find the sun in your eyes. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you, but when I hate you, it's 'cause I love you. That's how I am, so what can I do? I'm happy, so happy when I'm with you. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you, but when That's how I am. So what can I do? I'm happy.
That was divine, divine.
Thank you, Tallulah. They tell me you're a singer now, too.
Well, I don't like to miss it, but I'm glad you did. Of course, you and I don't sing the same words.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Well, darling, I'd like to make a recording of Sometimes I'm Happy instead of just singing Give My Regards to Broadway. All the time. I could do a good job of it, too. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue, but this position depends on you.
Tallulah, the words are different, but the melody lingers on.
Well, thank you, Ella, darling. Well, let's linger a moment now before we go on with the rest of our show. When we're going to hear Ethel Waters sing, to say nothing of Eddie Fisher, and we have Johnny Burke coming up, and Eddie Cantor and Fred Allen and the whole cast will be back. But first, Ed Hurley wants to say...
This portion of the program has been brought to you by Chesterfield, the cigarette that has, for you, what every smoker wants. Mildness, with no unpleasant aftertaste. The best cigarette for you to smoke. By the makers of Anacin, for fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And now, Tallulah, if you ring your chime.
Thank you, Ed. This, darlings, is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is the Big Show. And Tallulah Bankhead is about to hail a taxi.
Yes, darlings, I hailed a taxi on my way to the studio the other day, and who should be driving it but Eddie Cantor's new delightful television character, Maxie the Taxi. Oh, taxi, taxi, taxi.
Yes, ma'am, where to, lady?
NBC, driver, and I'm in a hurry.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Is the gentleman coming too?
What gentleman?
The one who yelled taxi.
That was I.
Oh, I had a cold myself last week. Say, lady, you know something? You're familiar.
Yes, I am.
I think I've seen you before.
Look, Rob, I wish you'd hurry. If I don't get rehearsals on time, my producer will be furious.
Your producer? Is that your boss?
My boss? Darling, I have no boss. I do exactly as I please.
Then what's your hurry?
That producer will fire me.
Don't you worry, lady. Maxie the taxi will get you there on time.
What did I do with that radio script? I simply must study my lines. Oh, here it is.
You know, lady, it's a funny thing about life.
Oh, dear, he's one of those drivers. What about life?
Did you ever get the feeling you met somebody before?
No, but I'm getting the feeling I never want to meet somebody again.
You still look familiar.
Well, naturally. You see, I'm Miss Bankhead.
Bankhead? Say, you're not Nellie Bankhead.
Who?
Nellie Bankhead, about 10 years ago over New Jersey, the dame who hacked the guy up with a saw.
Was he a radio producer?
No.
Then it wasn't I. Look, darling, let me put your mind to rest where it belongs. There is only one Bankhead, that's Tallulah, and I'm it.
Tallulah Bankhead? Are you the Tallulah Bankhead who's on the radio Sunday nights?
Now, don't tell me they've got one on Wednesday nights. That's NBC for you. The minute my back is turned...
Well, Tallulah Bankhead. Now I got something to tell my grandfather.
Grandfather? You mean you have something to tell your grandchildren?
No. I mean my grandfather. My grandchildren wouldn't know what I was talking about, but my grandfather would know. I knew you were somebody important by the way you dress. Hey, that's a very classy fur coat you got on, Miss Bankhead.
Oh, you like it, driver. I got this since I started working for NBC.
Funny thing, only last week I was driving a girl who got herself a fur coat just like that.
Oh, really? Does she work for NBC?
No, RFC. You know something? My wife's always hounding me for a fur coat. You ought to meet her. She thinks you're great.
Oh, she sounds very sweet and very intelligent.
Yeah. Every week, yes, sir. No matter what the rest of the family says, she's got to hear you. Like last week, hey, Maxie, she says like this, hey, Maxie, it's 6 o'clock. So I say, so it's 6 o'clock, so what? So she says, tune in NBC, the foghorn is on. Oh, she's a great little kid of the wife, always listens to the radio. Do you listen much, Miss Bankhead?
I can't, you see, when I'm on the air, naturally I can't listen to myself. When I'm off the air, what is there to listen to? Thank you, darling. Do I sound conceited?
Why, not at all. You believe you're good, so you should keep right on believing. It's all right.
Well, of course, people say I am conceited, but it's really sheer nonsense. If they really understood me, they'd realize that I'm twice as good as I think I am.
By the way, Miss Bankhead, who you got on the show this week?
Well, let me see. There's Jan Pierce, Ella Fitzgerald, Eddie Fisher, Ethel Waters, Meredith Wilson, Phil Baker, Fred Allen, Portman Harper, Johnny Burke, and oh, yes, Eddie Cantor.
Eddie Cantor. Now, he's good.
You think so?
Why, you don't.
He should be driving a taxicab.
That's what I keep telling my brother-in-law. What a no-goodnik.
Eddie Cantor?
No, my brother-in-law. Oh, what a character he is. When he suddenly appears at a house, nobody ever says, look who dropped in. It's always, look who broke out. You know what I mean? but that's life. That's what I always say.
Is that what you always say?
Yep.
How clever of you. Now, I want to study this script. Well, darlings, I simply must tell you what happened to me this week. Well,
now, you take meat.
Oh, no. What about meat?
Who can afford it? The prices these days. Let me ask you a question, Miss Bankhead. What do you got in your refrigerator at home?
Oh, the usual. Tomato juice, Worcestershire sauce, Tabasco.
Have you got any idea what that stuff costs? It's terrible.
Let me ask you a question.
But why am I telling you all this?
There goes my question.
You know what prices are. You're a housewife. Take, for example, when you get up early in the morning and go shopping at the supermarket.
When I get up when and go where?
Now, just look at the prices. Then add up what it costs for one meal at home. For instance, when did you cook your last meal at home?
Well, now, let me see. Mrs. O'Leary and I were out getting some eggs, and the cow kicked over the lamp.
Well, I get it from this remark. You do very little cooking at home. It must be rather lonely living alone.
What are you driving at?
Well, I've been hearing this Judy Holliday something on your show. You know, talking about marriage.
Well?
You are single, I take it?
I am.
Why?
Nobody would take it. Oh, wait a minute, driver. Wait a minute. You just passed 50th Street.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. We'll have to go to the 49th Street entrance. At 50th Street is a sign bearing the warning, no left turn. There's also an officer of the law to add meaning to the sign.
Well, this is a free country. We're all equal. You tell him I'm Pazula Bankhead and I demand to be let through.
Please, take my word. Any other time, any other place in America, yes. But at 50th Street where the sign says no left turn and the policeman is leaning on the sign, believe me, there is no free speech. Well, here we are, lady, NBC.
Now, what do you owe me, driver?
Miss Bankhead, you owe me nothing.
Well, thank you.
However, the meter you owe 95 cents.
Now, well, here's a dollar. Keep the change.
It figures. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Miss Bankhead.
Thank you.
And take my word for it, you're doing wonderful on the radio. Especially for a girl who is only in her early 20s.
Only in my... Oh, darling. I don't believe I gave you a tip.
Believe me, you didn't.
Well, here, darling, it's $5.
$5? $5. Gee, thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, don't miss it. Good night, darling.
Good night. How do you like that? $5 just for saying she is in her early 20s? Of course, where I'm going for making a statement like that, what good is paper money?
For a wonderful ride. And here, ladies and gentlemen, is another Eddie, discovered by Eddie Cantor, a thrilling, new, young, singing talent who leaves in a few short weeks for the Army. Eddie Fisher sings Bring Back the Thrill.
about you, only you'd understand. Bring back the thrill of the wonderful life that we planned. Only we two, never lonely when I was with you. We loved and we laughed in the sun, and the time that we spent was such fun. But I never thought we could part when I gave you my heart. So bring back the thrill.
Come here, darling. I want to talk to you. You're going into the army, I understand.
That's right, Miss Bankhead.
Which army, darling? The blue or the gray? Well, anyway, Eddie, we all wish you the very best of luck, as you know. And take care of that beautiful voice of yours. Have you wired ahead to the camp for a nice room?
Wired for a room?
Well, darling, everybody's going. It'll be awfully crowded. You don't want to be left out in the cold. You might get there and there won't be any room for you.
Who can be that lucky?
Well, you don't have to take my word for it, Eddie, because we have a gentleman on the show this week who has soldiered all his life. He'll tell you exactly what you can expect. I refer to none other than the sad sack from the draft of 1917, Johnny Burke.
Miss Bankhead, this will give you an idea how much the Army improved after they got me out of it. When they called me down to the draft board to volunteer, it was supposed to be selective service, just like this last time. Selective nothing. They took everybody. If you could see lightning and hear thunder, you were in. The line outside the place was so long, I thought before they could reach my turn, the war'd be over. First time I ever saw a line where everybody was willing for you to get in front. When I went inside, I knew everybody in the place. The man sitting at the desk that had charge of the draft board used to be our garbage collector. He looked at me, he says, "Are you John Burke?" I says, "Yes, sir." He says, "What's your name?" I said, "August Schultz." He said, "Are you alien?" I said, "No, I feel all right." He's answered the question, "August, where were you born?" I said, "I was born in Toluca." He says, "When?" I said, "During a lull in the conversation." He said, "What I'm trying to find out is how old you are." I said, "I'll be 23, the 1st of September." If he's the 1st of September, you'll be in France. That'll be the last of August. Then the veterinary came in to examine me. You ever have typhoid fever, measles, and mumps? I said, no, sir. He said, do you take fits? That's only when I drink toilet water. He said, what's the most you ever weighed? I said, 180 pounds. He said, what's the least? I said, 7 pounds, 8 ounces. Insanity? I said, no, they all seem to enjoy it. He said, take off your clothes. I said, don't overlook anything, Doc. He says, you shut your mouth and cough. I sneezed and he wrote floating kidneys. Worked on me about an hour. Finally, I says, how do I stand, Doc? He says, that's what surprises me. He said, I've examined about 14,000 men in this division, but you're the most perfect physical wreck of all of them. And he handed me a class 1A card. 2 weeks later, I arrived at Camp Dix. I wish you'd see the barracks they put me in. Instead of screens on the window, they had chicken wire. The only insects that kept out was buzzards and eagles. I donated a pint of blood the first night to the mosquitoes. Starved. I said to a fellow, I could eat a horse. He said, you came to the right place. He was right. The first meal I got, I knew why they called it mess. The officers ate in the officers' club with tables and tablecloths. We ate out in the street where we couldn't smell what we were going to get. The eggs they gave me, the chickens were glad to get rid of. I started to eat a bowl of rice pudding and 2 raisins walked out. I got a cup of coffee and I had a time like keys on a lump of sugar to make it sink. Every day was some kind of inspection. One morning, 5 below 0, they called us all outside for underwear inspection. You talk about scenery. I was so cold, I went over to the quartermaster's department. I said to the fellow, I gotta have some long underwear. He says, how long do you want it? I said, all winter. He gave me a union suit that had fit Joe Lewis 3 times. The tailboard hung down like a trailer. When they lined us up, the captain looked at the back of the line. He hollered, Burke, stand up. Like I am standing up. It's the underwear that's sitting down. The fellow next to me said, boy, I'm cold. I just come up from Atlanta, Georgia. Down there, the heat was intense. I said, boy, you were lucky. Up here, they won't even put it in the barracks. I was so cold that night, I got a big quart of whiskey and a fellow named Jones and I drank it. When it's finished, I saw something wrong with Jones. I went down to the doctor. I said, doctor, you better come up and see Jonesy. I think he's gone blind. He said, what happened? I said, well, we drank a quart of whiskey. He said, does he see any pink elephants running around the floor? I said, no, that's the trouble. They're there, but he don't see them. Marching down the pier to go on board the boat, I had more hard luck. The sergeant who was marching my company stuttered. It took him so long to say, halt, 27 of us marched overboard. They pulled me up out of the water on the deck of the boat, and the captain hollered, fall in. I said, I've been in. Days, 12 days seasick, 12 days leaning over the rail, everything coming up and nothing going down. One morning early, just at daybreak, I felt terrible. I was leaning extra far. And right in the middle of one of my best leans, the captain of the boat come up, hit me on the back and says, what company are you in? I said, I'm by myself. He said, don't get perturbed. What I want to find out is the brigadier up yet. I said, if I swallowed it, it's up. That afternoon, the boat stopped. I said to the fellow, I guess we dropped the anchor. He said, I knew they'd lose it. It's been hanging outside since we left New York. Another fellow rushed up to me and said, get in the lifeboats, quick. We're torpedoed. We're sinking. Life when I got in, upset it, and hit the water. The only ones left in it were the second lieutenant and me. Right away, started giving me orders. They reach over there, and the boys come up, grab them by the hair of the head, and pull them out of the water into the boat. Well, I was doing it, and one fella came up bald-headed. He hollered, help me. I says, you go down and come up right.
Our thanks for a most amusing account of life in the Yankee Army. And now, ladies and gentlemen, there's another great voice yet to be heard from. She, too, is a dramatic actress who can sing. There's so few of us, you know, darling. But here is one whose name is synonymous with some of the most remembered songs of our time. Stormy Weather, Cabin in the Sky, Heat Wave, Dinah. I can name a score of them. But here she is to sing, Happiness is a Thing Called Joe. Look at the water.
A thing called Joe. He has a smile that makes the lilac want to grow. He has a way that makes the angels heave a sigh when they little Joe is passing by. Sometimes the cabin's gloomy and the table's bare, but when he kisses me, it's Christmas everywhere. Troubles fly away, and life is easy going. But does he love me good? That's all I want to know. Because my happiness is just a thing called Joe. Joe. that makes the angels heave a sigh when they know my little Joe is passing by. Sometimes the cabin's gloomy and the table's bare, but when he kisses me nod, it's Christmas everywhere. Troubles fly away and life is easy go. But does he love me good? That's all I want to know. Because my happiness is just a thing called Joe. Little Joe.
Little Joe.
Little Joe.
As nothing can follow a song from you.
Thanks, Tallulah. And if that's the case, I guess I'll be going now.
Wait a minute, Ethel. I'll go with you.
All right, Ella.
Oh, are you ladies leaving? I thought the three of us might sit around a while and sing some songs to each other. Oh, Jan Pierce, how about you joining our little trio?
Be glad to. Three chicks and a cluck.
Well, good night, Tallulah.
Oh, Fred, you going? Did you enjoy being with us? When are you coming back?
Oh, questions, questions, all the time questions.
Now, Fred, remember.
Well, all right, Portland. Let's go home and contemplate some watermelon, Fred.
Miss Bankhead, I want to thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, Eddie Fisher, best wishes for you in the Army. And when you get there, darling, be sure to tell them that I said to make you a captain.
A captain? You have to start out as a private and work your way up. It goes private, corporal, sergeant, lieutenant, captain, major, colonel, general, and civilian.
Well, you be sure to go right to the top, Eddie. Godspeed,
well,
darling.
So long, Tallulah. I've got to rush over and do my $64 question show.
So nice to have had you here, Phil. I may say success agrees with you. You seem to have filled out quite a bit.
Oh, that's not me. I'm wearing my accordion under my coat. What's your excuse?
Isn't he sound? Oh, Eddie Cat, are you leaving too?
Yes, and please, no remarks about my weight.
Oh, I wouldn't think of it, darling. You've always kept your figure, haven't you, Eddie?
Jealous?
Oh, no. It has always been a wonder to me how you do it. How much do you weigh?
I weighed myself just last night. I weigh 142.
Stripped?
Oh, no, the drugstore was too crowded.
Good night, Tallulah.
Good night, Johnny Burke, darling. Thanks so much for your wonderful stories about the Army.
Thank you.
Well, darlings, that's all the time we have tonight. But if you're with us again next week, you're going to hear Don Cornell, Jimmy Durante, Rex Harrison, Judy Holliday, Carmen Miranda, Lily Palmer, and others, and of course, our very own Meredith Wilson and the Big Show Orchestra and Chorus. And until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away. Ella?
May you find that long-awaited golden day today, Phil.
May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10.
Fred?
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again, Portland.
May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. Eddie?
May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Ethel?
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been, Johnny.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
Meredith, may you long recall each rainbow. Then you'll soon forget the rain.
Eddie Fisher.
May the warm and tender memories be the ones that will remain.
May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again. Good night, darlings, and Godspeed to our armed forces all over the world who hear these broadcasts each week.
The Big Show is produced and directed by Dee Engelbach and written by Goodman Ace with Selma Diamond, George Foster, Mort Green, and Frank Wilson. This is Ed Hurley, he's speaking. Bill Harris and Alice Faye, and later Theater Guild on NBC.